Topic for the evening tonight is revival, and I have a verse for you guys here on Ezekiel 37. I'm going to read you this small chapter. He said, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were many on the surface of the valley, and they were very dry. And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' And I answered, 'Lord, you know.' And again he said to me, 'Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of the God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you that you may come into life. I will put sinews on you, make your flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, that you may come alive, and you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, and bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews began to attach them. The flesh grew, the skin covered, but there was no breath. And he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may come to life.' So I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood to their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. We're completely cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord your God, behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves because you are my people, and I will bring you into the land. Then you will know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves as my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life. I will place you on your own land. Then you will know that the Lord has spoken, and it is the Lord that's done it." And I think about this, and I think about him to Ezekiel, but then I think about us, and I think about God talking to us, and he's saying, prophesy to these old dry bones. Prophecy to these bones. And God said, I have the power to bring back your entire camp. He said, just prophecy to the dry bones. And he said, I looked and it became. You know, the Hebrew word for this is ruach. It's the breath. It's the wind. It's the spirit. And that's what we talk about regularly. We talk about the Holy Spirit, Parakletos, the one called alongside to help, the one that comes along within us. When you talk about prophecy, just speaking scripture and God's word into effect. He said, my word goes forth and does not come back to me void without accomplishing what I desire. And what he's telling him is to prophecy to these people, prophecy to yourself, prophecy God's word in your life. You see, many times we're all tied up. We feel like we're all beat down. So that's why God turned to him. He said, that's your whole camp. Your whole camp's defeated, deflated, frustrated, overworked. They feel like they can't make it anymore. But he said, you know, you need to prophesy to them. Spread that word of God to them. Bring them back to life. Amen. Many of us want change in our life, do we not? We want that change in our life. We want to see change in our life. But if we're not willing to make that change, we're not going to see that change. And the first step in making that change is speaking that word of God into that environment. Father God, I'm struggling with my memory right now. I'm going to pray over that memory. Father God, I'm struggling with my health right now. I'm going to pray over that health. Amen? Right now I'm struggling with my knees and my back. I'm getting old. I'm going to pray about that. I'm struggling with my finances, my place to live. I'm going to prophesy about that situation. Instead of being defeated about it, I'm going to accept God's direction and bring that death to life, that spiritual death. We'll not allow decay to live within us on a daily basis, will we? Amen? We've got to gut it out. And that's what revival is, you know, thankful for a change. You know, what is revival really? It's the act of restoring life again. It's recovery, the renewal of life, spiritual awakening, to live again, to live again. Amen. That sounds good to me. I think about that, and I'm thankful for that, to get to live again. Because I can remember the time of my mind frame when I was awake. I was functional, but I wasn't living. Amen? Nobody remember those days?
Yep.
Nobody relate to that?
Yeah.
I remember whole blocks of years of my life when I was present somewhere, but I wasn't living. Amen? And I want to speak that word of God and put that power in my life and see what He can do. I want that restoring life again, the renewal, the spiritual awakening. So the revival, A, begins here. Amen. Revival begins here. It starts with each and every single one of us. If we want change in our lives, we want to make our circumstances begin to grow, we want to start to move in a new direction, we must first look deep within ourselves. Ephesians 4:20 says, "Let the old self go, the new self, the likeness of God, created in righteousness, holiness of the truth." Psalm 119:88, "Revive me according to thy loving kindness, so that I may keep thy testimony of thy mouth." And what's he saying? Carry out his will to give him the glory. What David's praying is, "Revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of thy mouth." So what he said, so as things are going to change in my life, I'm going to give you the glory, God. Amen. I'm going to pray to you. I'm going to seek your face. I'm going to walk in your direction. But when doors open, when things change, I'm not going to forget you. I'm going to put that word in my mouth. I'm where I am today because of my faith. Amen. Didn't somebody just say that a minute ago? When we were going around being thankful, didn't Brother Winston? Ezekiel 11:19 said, "One heart, one spirit, new spirit. Remove my old hardened heart and replace it with a new one to keep his word." That's Ezekiel. What he's saying is that I've packed so much baggage in my life that now I've got to pray for God to give me the ability to release it. Amen? Right? So I've been holding on to this pain and this frustration for so long, and I pray, God, just take it from me. Take it from me, God. Take it. Take Seth. Just take the tea. Take it. Take it from me. But I won't let go. I won't let go. Why? Because every day I got to tell somebody about that pain that's in my life. Every day I got to talk about that experience in my life. And that right there has become an anchor to stop me from moving forward. Because I just won't just let them have it. Just take it, God. No, I got it. I can't. I'm not done. Not done dealing with it. Maybe tomorrow, God. Maybe I'll give it to you tomorrow. But see, 2 Corinthians says, "Therefore, from now on, that we recognize that no one according to the flesh, even though from what we have known Christ according to the flesh, but yet now not know him in this way any longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, that all things have passed away. Behold, all things have come new." A new creature. A new creature. Now, I realize you guys look at me and call me a creature. I get not very good looking guy. I'm kind of big and goofy or whatever. But I like the idea of the brand new creature. Because, you know, if you're going to draw a brand new creature, a brand new reality for us, you know, right now, would you keep all that negative baggage in the new future? Right? Would you go back to when we were 7, 11, 14, 19, when we made all them bad decisions, or when somebody made bad decisions that affected us, and draw that into that new creature? If I was a brand new creature in Christ, that means every single thing that happened to me previous to that is irrelevant. Amen? Because I'm new. I've been made new. I've been made whole. I now have the ability and the capacity to function in the spiritual life that God has set out for me. Amen? Whereas before, not so much. A new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all new things have come. See, the difference is I need to accept that. In Psalm 23, David talks about God restoring him on a personal level. And even when he says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me," You know what he's talking about, which is kind of strange, and the only person I ever hear consistently talk about this is Marvin, is that thank you, God, for the challenges in my life. Because we realize that it's these challenges that hard press us to begin to stretch out our imaginations and our ability to think outside the box, to be able to function. It's through pain and suffering that we actually grow. We didn't even talk about sanctification. The sanctification process, usually most of the time, is through fire. But fire burns. It hurts. It's uncomfortable, right? And we talk about the wheat and the chaff that helps the corn grow. But if you leave that chaff on there forever, it'll kill the corn. So it was necessary for that growth. It was necessary for that time period. It was necessary for all of that to occur, for that corn to become mature. But that day came when all that's got to come off, so that it can then stand alone, mature, ready to grow and plant other corn. Amen? And you think about yourself with that chaff and all them coats we're wearing. How many pieces of things are we dragging along with us every day that are just pulling along? We need to get those off of us so that we can be that new spiritual creature that we're talking about. In 103, David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits, who pardons all my iniquities and heals all my diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle." What else is available to us that can do that? In all of our experience and everything we've been through, what else is able to renew us in that manner? Amen? Right? And those of us that have been exposed can testify that there's strength in faith. There's strength in faith. People have gotten through things in life that they would have never accomplished without faith. Not that it wasn't a challenge. Amen? Not that it wasn't a challenge. We've all had challenges, yes or no? Just one of us. Mick is the only one that's ever had a challenge. It would appear that every single day of my life is a challenge, right? And I think to myself, if it weren't for my faith, you know, I can't imagine where I'd be right now. Because I still hear my thoughts. I still think my thoughts. My thoughts sometimes are definitely contrary to the direction I'm trying to go. And I think, thank God for that faith right there. And I think that's part of that renewal. That's part of that benefit. Whereas before, I'm driving along, right? And then the exit comes. The exit's a bad decision, bad temptation. And I would have just turned and went, because it seemed like a good idea at the time. Whereas now, I'm driving along and I see the exit sign, and it's a mile away. I'm thinking, no, 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 no. Half mile, no, 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 no. There it is. You're going to turn? You're going to take it? You're going to go for the bait? It's that faith. That faith is that white line on the side that just keeps you going down the road. But he says, pardons all my iniquities, heals my diseases, redeems my life from the pit. That is just such a powerful thing as far as revival and restoration is concerned. 2 Corinthians chapter 4:16 says, "Though the outer man is decaying, the inner man being renewed day by day." Amen. This old shell of mine is eventually going to fall apart. That's a fact. There's a time period on how long I'm going to be able to be here. But my inner man is being renewed day after day after day. And that renewal and that strength gives me the ability, the capacity to succeed. Amen? What about Titus? Titus says, "He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how can he take care of the church of God?" We have responsibilities as men of faith. Responsibilities as women of faith. Responsibilities as the household of faith to do the things that we know we need to do. I think that before we may have had a great mindset to be the character that we needed to be for our family. But yet, when you played it out, and you looked at it, you didn't fill the void. I know that I didn't, right? I know that probably 28, 32 years went by where I was unable to do that. I was unable to be who I needed to be in order to do that. Did I love them? Of course I love them. But what is I love them? Is I love them what I feel like's best for me right now and what ends up was what ends up? Or is I love them, I wake up every single day and go somewhere I don't want to go, to do something I don't want to do, to come home every single day to be that example of consistency that they need in their life? That I'm there at the shows. I'm there for them when they need me. You know, I'm talking about the kids personally in my life, but I mean, it's all the family. What about my parents that I let down 871,261 times? Right? It's amazing that she still accepts my phone call this day. And just to think about not having the ability to fulfill that on my own. You just don't. But with faith, with revival, with restoration, and that new creature, that revived creature has the ability to be that man that those kids need you to be. To be that man the husband, the wife needs you to be, the husband needs you to be. All the roles can be played with faith in our lives. Renewing by the Holy Spirit. Washing and regeneration by the Holy Spirit in Titus. You know, it's revival at home. Psalm 78, 1 Timothy 3 through 5, and then Proverbs 23, I'm going to read. Do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with the rod, he will not die. You shall strike him with the rod, but maybe rescue his soul from Sheol. And you remember not too long ago, we were talking about the heart. And we said, Sheol and the bad end are never satisfied, so are the hearts of men. And we always wonder why. How did I get here? How did I get to this place in life? What took me down this road that allowed me to make so many decisions for now, for me to be sitting here going, what happened to me? How did I get here? But he's saying Sheol and the bad end are never satisfied. But in this context, he's saying, if you're that man of God or woman of God, I'm going to say man as woman as man of God, and you're playing that role where you're consistently, actively functioning in your faith, and you stay on those kids, you're giving them something to keep them out of that swing. Amen? How many of us would ever want our kids to go through what we went through? Right? Right? But we need that faith and that consistency and that renewal and that revival in our lives in order to be that consistent direction for our children. Amen? Great-grandchildren. Amen? They need to see that day after day after day. You see, the thing is, with the best intentions, if I come home and I slam the door and I kick the dog and I sit down and I had this terrible day, with the best intentions, what did they see me do? They see me come home with work and frustration and 17 hours on my mind. Or did they see me come home dirty, beat up, bleeding, fingers bleeding, bent over, tired, beat? Hug my kids, love my kids. Dad went to work today. Dad goes to work every day. And he comes home every day and loves them baby. Amen? There's such a big difference between having the greatest intentions and then following through. I've realized this now. I still catch myself. You know, that hell, he's got to play, da-da-da-da-da. And I'm looking at the work schedule and I'm thinking, it looks like you're going to be there for this one, you know. But at the end of the day, that can't be the truth. That can't be it. Because that consistent man of God needs to play that role. If we stay on him, stay with him. You remember the other verse, to train up a child the way he should go, and when he's old, he shall not depart from it. So that you instill that integrity in those kids. The integrity that we didn't get to have when we were little. That example that we didn't get to have when we were little. We broke that chain and put that in their life so that then they can grow and succeed in ways that we never could. Amen? What about relationships? 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 1 through 5. This is good. But we've got to find it first. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. No, it's not. Chapter 7, 1 through 5. Check this out. Now concerning the things about which he wrote, it is good for a man not to touch a woman because of immoralities. Each man is to have his own wife. Each woman to have his own husband. The husband must fulfill his duty to his wife, likewise the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Stop depriving one another, except by agreement for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer and come together again, so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. He's just talking about here that when you really take on this relationship, you should be willing to sacrifice even yourself for them, as they should be able to sacrifice even themselves for you. And that you both fill that void together. Amen? That's such a powerful mindset, because I'm used to relationships that keep track. I'm used to doing something crazy and then finding out about 831 other crazy things I did, right? But I didn't do it that day, right? But we're keeping record. Like, hold on a minute. And they get it out and they're like, whoosh, 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 whoosh. You know, it's 100 feet long, you know. But you know what? That's not a relationship. Amen. Yesterday's yesterday. We're growing together. We're growing together. Tomorrow is what we're looking for. Amen. We don't keep these tabs. We don't keep these. And we do sacrifice. And we go that extra mile for each other. And you know, I would encourage you guys to take your significant other and see if you can outdo them. Right? Get that mentality in your mind that you can go, see if you can go farther than they can. See if you can do more for them than they can do for you. See if you guys can work together to outdo each other. Now all of a sudden, you're racing to benefit each other rather than keeping tabs on what didn't get done. Isn't that a different mentality? Doesn't that feel better at home when you get home and your wife outdid you? And you're like, oh man, that's crazy. Rather than waiting for you to get home as soon as you walk through that door. this is one of them roller things. I don't know there, but I can see it. I can see it battling you. Revival at the home. The children, the wives, cousins, mothers. What about revival at the church? Psalm 85, Psalm 81 through 3. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel. O God, restore us and cause your face to shine upon us. Then we will be saved. Philippians 2. Therefore, if any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection or compassion, make my joy complete. Say that. Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in the same spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing of selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. And have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's such a powerful verse to think about. When I think about this verse, he said, I mean, it's Paul, I believe. He said, therefore, if any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection or compassion, make my joy complete. How do I make my joy complete? It's revival. Staying in that faith. You see, we don't realize it, but all of our roles have a tendency to deflate us. All of our different things that we're involved with have the ability to draw energy from us if we're changing masks. If I have to go and put my work hat on and my work face on and I'm my work guy, and then I change that immediately and I'm my home guy, and then I'm the guy that goes out with my other guys, then I'm the guy that goes out on Sunday, now all of a sudden I'm seven people. Amen? But he didn't say that. Did he say that? We don't have to do that. All we have to do is be ourselves and stay in our faith and keep that one mind, that mind of Christ. And I need to go back to that because I can't let this go. Any affection or compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind. How do I do that? Maintaining the same love. Whose love? Whose love? God's love, amen, united in one spirit. Whose spirit? God's spirit, intent on one purpose. What's that? The glory of the Lord in our life, in your life, amen? Spreading of the gospel, just sharing that good news. keeping that good news, staying grounded to that good news. If I have the ability to stay in that same mindset of faith. Now, let me give you an idea. How about your mindset on Sunday afternoon in church? You got it? Good? We good? How about your mindset when you used to go to the club? Could you be in church and still go there? Could you take that mindset there? Could you take that mindset to the people's houses that you've been going to? Can you take that mindset to all the places? What about the public interactions we've been involved with lately? Right? If I keep that mindset of Christ on me always, always, it makes my joy complete. Amen? Make me complete by keeping me sound, keeping me the same, keeping me just so I can accept that I'm in your favor, Lord. Right? Amen? So that I don't have a different personality for every place I go. I have one personality, and it's the personality of the love of God that came into my life that restored every relationship that I destroyed and continues somehow to continue to promote me. That's my joy, amen? It's not easy. It's never going to be easy. It doesn't say that it's going to be easy, but it says that my joy will be complete. Amen. Therefore, when my truck breaks down and the washer breaks down and the cars don't get done and I work 17 hours a day and I get home and the house is a mess, I'm not hurting people anymore. I'm just going through the motions. Tonight I get 4 hours of sleep. Tomorrow I might get six. Amen. Joy's complete. It's the same mind, same purpose, same focus. That's so important for revival. Understanding that we need to keep that spiritual mindset with us 24 hours a day. 24 hours a day. Revival of the church. Psalm 80, 1 through 3. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. Check this out. He says, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, calls himself a prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in the manner worthy of the calling in which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. Why do you suppose he put that there? Because he knows. People are crazy. They drive us nuts, do they not? I mean, you go out into the place of the world and you're just like, what? Right? But even Paul, he's saying, walk in the manner with which you have been called, with humility and gentleness and patience, showing tolerance to one another. Amen? Some of us guys that got pride that's just right at the edge of everything that we do, we've got to reel that back in. Amen? We've got to pull him in, put him back in our pocket so that pride is not such a stumbling block for us. But be patient with others. He goes on, he says, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in the hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father over all, and through all, and in all. Amen. But revival is a team effort. So it's first spiritual. I first need that spiritual awakening. I need to hold on to that. I need to prophesy to those old bones. Amen. How many of you guys are just tired of struggling with the same old struggles? How many of you guys have been struggling with one specific thing for more than 2 months? Nobody? More than 2 months. One thing. Struggling with one thing for more than 2 months. How about more than 2 years? More than 5 years? Are you not ready to speak that life of God into that struggle? Are we not ready to prophesy to these old bones to cause the skin to grow, for God to put youth and renewal in our lives? Because that's what he did, and he used the example of a graveyard. He said, I could resurrect this graveyard. What do you think I can do for you? Amen? Prophecy. And he said, do it, son of man. And the son of man did it, and he did it. And those of us who understand biblical transforming power and the act of God of working in our lives have visibly seen him working. Right? Because there's points and times in my life that I know for an absolute fact there's no possible way that would have happened if God wasn't in my corner. Amen? Amen. Right? So let's not accept that defeat. Let's start speaking that into our lives. Let's accept that revival and make that change today. Amen?